So whatever I say today that you take out of context, you need to pray about it. Because my mind is pure because of the Bible is pure. Amen? It was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. The scripture today comes from Matthew, the 21st chapter. And I'm going to read from verse 1 through 11. Amen. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. Amen. Can you, Janari, can you find Matthew, the 21st chapter, in the King James Version? Because if you don't have your Bible, I want you to see it for yourself. Amen. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they sent him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in a way, others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before them and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. We have come to the last stage of the journey. There had been a time of withdrawal around Caesarea Philippi in the far north. There had been a time in Galilee. There had been the stay in the hill country of Judea and the regions beyond Jordan. There had been the road through Jericho, now comes Jerusalem. The long journey from Galilee had ended on what we now call Palm Sunday, as Jesus and his disciples reached Bethany, approximately 2 miles east of Jerusalem. This was the home to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and a place which Jesus often retreated to. And as they approached the city, Jesus sent his two disciples to get that colt that has never been ridden and bring it to him. Jesus knew right that animal could be found. Jesus had a purpose of securing it, and it was Jesus' entry into the city so that he might fulfill a precise prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. Now, the prophets of Israel always had a distinctive method of getting the cross. When words failed to move people, they did something dramatic as if to say, if you will not hear it, you must be compelled to see it. In Palestine, when the king went to war, he usually rode on a horse. When he came in peace, he usually rode on an ass. As our Lord rode westward towards the Mount of Olives and down the slopes towards Jerusalem, there was many zealous followers. The crowd acknowledged that this must be the prophet Jesus. But see, they thought that he had came to overthrow the Roman government and to establish his kingdom on earth. But Jesus was here as the Messiah, but his mission was not political, nor was his primary external, but it was spiritual and internal. Just want to stop right there for a minute. Jesus is not concerned about the political landscape. He's not concerned about the external things, but he is concerned about the spiritual and the internal. Jesus was coming to claim his kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. He came to call men to enter into the kingdom. He came to break men's alliance to the kingdoms of this world. He was the only one that is loyal to men, and he came to bring them as the only one who could give them their only true peace. And all this lies behind his resolve to go to Jerusalem. Because prior to this, Jesus has told the disciples what was going to happen. They didn't want him to go, but it had been prophesied that Jesus needed to go into Jerusalem. Jesus had told them that he had come to do the will of his Father. Amen? Sometimes we know that we're getting ready to go into a dangerous place, and we must do the will of our Father, regardless of what the circumstances look like. Amen? We don't want to go into some people's houses. We don't want to go into certain neighborhoods. We don't want to tell certain people about Jesus. But we must do the will of our Father. This rebellion that Jesus was going to lead was going to be a nonviolent revolution. It was not going to be a nationalist insurrection against Rome. It wasn't going to be against the Roman leaders, but it was going to be a religious rebellion, a rebellion that is against everything inconsistent to the heavenly king. This Masonic attack was going to be against all the institution that would hinder people from entering into the kingdom. It would be a denunciation of Phariseeism. It would be a challenge to civil power and to the priesthood. And Jesus does all of this with the knowledge that he's going to be rejected. Do we do things when we know that we are going to be rejected? Do we do things in spite of knowing that people are not going to like us? Do we do that? Times we shy away from those type things. Jesus knew that he would be rejected by the elders and the priests and the scribes. He knew he would be handed over to the powers of the Gentiles for death. And that triumphant entry into to the Jerusalem was today, which starts the week of Passion. You see, but when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, knowing that he already was a king, he didn't enter in on a white horse. He didn't enter in on what they call a charger, but he entered in on a lonely beast of burden. He entered in on the colt of an ass as a symbol of humility. When we read the scripture in Matthew identifies the location. He identifies the colt. He identifies the Old Testament prophecy. He identifies the cry of the crowd. And he identifies the prophet from Nazareth. The scripture says the whole city was shaken by his entry. You see, the extent of his influence indicates that there was over a quarter of a million lambs slain that week. recognizing that for every 10 people, you would slaughter one lamb. So if they slaughtered 250,000 lambs, that meant there had to be 2.5 million people crowding Jerusalem for Passover. Now, the city of Jerusalem was only about 30,000. So if you had 2.5 million people there as he entered into the city, that means you had 2.5 million people. That's 30 times the normal amount of people that lives there. So think of your house. Imagine if you had 30 times the number of people in your house that live there right now. That's how many people were ready, willing to see the King of Kings. Amen? But whatever the size, it was for the presentation of the king. And when the city officials asked, who is this person riding in Jerusalem with all of this acclamation? The crowd didn't say, oh, that's the son of David. It said, that's the prophet from Nazareth. So I told you that when I say something today, I want you to know that I'm getting it from the Bible. So if I had a topic today, it's this. I want to be the ass for Jesus. I want to be the one that he rides on. I want to be the one that he gives that responsibility to. Amen? Now, donkeys are famous for being stubborn. They're the kind of animals who don't seem to get too much respect. And they don't give a lot of respect. You see, if it was a horse, somebody would say about a horse, oh, that's quite a fine filly that you got there. Or they might turn around and say, oh, he's quite the stud. But when you compare the donkey, you don't say those things. As a matter of fact, the way we use the word to describe a donkey today, the donkey should get offended that somebody should call him that. The point being that donkey don't get that much respect. But see, the Lord uses the shameful things of this world to confound the strong and the mighty. And he's given a great honor to this donkey that no war horse or no other horse has ever received. You see, one time, the Lord gave the donkey a chance to speak. He never did that with a horse. So he was showing you in the Old Testament that he can use the humble, that he can use the lowly, that he could use the one that can carry the burden. Might not be what you want it to be, but he knows what to use. But the highest honor ever given to a donkey was carrying the Lord Jesus Christ on this Palm Sunday. And for that reason, today, this donkey is going to teach us some things. I would have never thought that I could learn something from a donkey. But it takes God to continue to take the foolish things to confound us. And the reason why he takes that approach is that no flesh should glory in his presence. The scripture says, because of the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that many, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. The scripture says he don't call all the smart people. He don't call all the wise people. He don't call all the noble people. And you wonder why God don't call you. Because you're too smart for God. The scripture says that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's so nobody can get so lofty. That's because you don't think that you're too big for anything. So that's why the Lord loves sheep. He calls us his sheep. Because sheep being called a sheep is not flattering. Sheep are not smart. They're some of the dumbest, defenseless animals there ever have been. And we don't really like to admit that we sheep, but we can learn from sheep. We can also learn some things by looking at this donkey. So I believe that we can relate to today and be encouraged and challenged in a unique way. Because God is looking for people who will flow with his plans and his purposes. He's searching for people who make his purposes a priority. He's looking for people he can use. He's looking for people who would submit under his authority and become useful for the kingdom. So you want to know why Jesus used a donkey? Do you want to know why Jesus used a donkey? Somebody say yes. Do you want to know why Jesus used a donkey? Oh, I'm not convinced. Do you want to know why Jesus used a donkey? I'm going to tell you why. Because Jesus used this donkey to carry him into the city. Amen? When Jesus used the donkey, it was a colt. It was a young donkey. It wasn't nothing that says anything older versus younger mentality, but he used that colt because nobody ever sat on it. He used that colt because it hadn't been trained by man. He used that colt because it hadn't been taught in the ways of man. Matthew records that there were two donkeys, but Jesus rode on the younger one. He didn't want to ride on something that had been previously misled and abused. He didn't want to ride on something that had grown old and stubborn and contrary. God can't use somebody that's stubborn, that thinks they know what to do and which way we ought to go. He doesn't want people who are resistant. He wants people who are ready. Simply put, he needs people who haven't let man's opinion tell them and justify what it is that they do. He wants people that will let God's function flow within them. This is why the Lord used that donkey. Because that donkey had a prophecy on it. You see, in Zechariah 9:9, there was a prophecy saying that the Messiah, the Savior, would come riding on a colt, the foal of an ass. In one way, this donkey was just like every other donkey. In one way, we're just like every other that's out there. But I'm telling you today that God has a prophecy on your life. When the world looks at you, there might not be anything unique or special about you to them. But God created you in a special way. There's no one like you. This donkey was tied to God's plan for all the ages. It doesn't make a difference that nobody knew the donkey's name. It doesn't make a difference that the donkey didn't have a name. But he was used for God's purposes. He was marked with a prophecy. According to Joel 2 and Acts 2, there's a generation which has a prophecy on it. It's a prophecy that promises that the Lord will pour out his spirit over them. We are that generation. We are part of that generation that is marked by a prophecy. If God has ever spoken something to you or about you and it hasn't come to pass yet, don't worry about it. Just know that you're marked with a prophecy, that you're marked with a promise. You're marked with God's divine intervention. That's why God, Jesus, used that donkey. You want to know why God used that donkey? He used it because that donkey had to be loosed. You see, even though this donkey had never been rode, and though it had a prophecy, it was all tied up. In fact, it was man that tied him up. He didn't know what he could do. Don't you know when man ties you up, you don't know what you can do? He didn't know what he was created to do. And he didn't even know if he had to do anything. But now watch this. The scripture is telling me, hallelujah, that the prophecy on him was spiritual. The prophecy on this donkey was natural. Don't you know that when I say that God has a prophecy on your life, it might not be natural. That means that you might not have all the money in the world. You might not have the biggest house. You might not have the finest car. You might not have the most money. You might not have the biggest title. You might not have the biggest office where you work at. You might not have the finest clothes. But when God has a prophecy on it, on you, it's spiritual. It's something that natural eyes can't see. So when somebody comes in here and they got a prophecy on them, it takes somebody with spiritual eyes to see the prophecy on that person. And you're looking at the person like they're a donkey. But even that donkey, God's got a purpose and a plan for them. Look at the text. Man sure didn't know what was happening. And I could tell you that when you start walking away from the tie down that man puts on you, people are going to start to wonder what's going on. Just turn around and say, the master has a need for me. When Jesus sent the disciples out to go get that donkey, he said, if they ask you anything, tell them the master has a need for him. He's wanting to come to town. He needs a ride. You keep trying to keep bounding me, keep me suppressed and hindered, but the God has a need for me. God is here to loose everybody from the tie down that man has put on them. God wants to ride you into the city. He wants to ride you into your family. He wants to ride through the trials and tribulations that you're going through. He wants you to be that donkey. Then the world is going to call you that other name for a donkey, but they're not going to mean a donkey. They're going to call you all kind of manner of that name. Sometimes they're going to put a jack in front of it or a hole behind it. But when you're a donkey for Christ, don't worry about it. Just worry about who's riding your back. Worry about who's pulling the wheel, pulling on that bit. Bible says the whole city was moved. But let me tell you something about that donkey. People were screaming. People were hollering. People were crying. People were throwing things. But that donkey just stayed still and just kept going, doing what he had to do. He didn't have no experience, but he kept going. He knew his master was the rider. He never did it before. He was inexperienced. Don't let nobody stop you from what God has you to do. Stop saying, I ain't got no experience. Stop saying, I don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. Every time I turn around, somebody says, I don't know how to do that. Trust in the Lord and the power of his might. The devil wants to tell you, you don't know what you're doing. He wants to tell you, you can't do that. He wants to tell you, you don't know where you're going. He wants to tell you, you can't handle that. Get behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. When you're in the spirit, you can see it. Don't look at the person. Read the spirit. Get behind me, Satan. There are times that we need to be stubborn like a donkey when we're dealing with stubborn sinners headed for the wrath of God. We got to be stubborn donkeys, amen? But when we're dealing with the Savior, and when we're dealing with the gospel, and when we're dealing with anything further in the kingdom of Christ, there's no place for stubbornness. No place. All we have to do is focus on the gospel. All we have to do is focus on it to get across the people, to get them to the cross. And when you're a donkey for Christ, it's a burden. But I'm telling you, it's a burden worth bearing. That donkey didn't get too much praise that day. Don't be looking for praise when you're a donkey for the Lord. You want everybody to see you. You want everybody to hear you. You want everybody to call your name. You want to stand up front and be noticed. Ain't no praise for no donkey. Every now and then, somebody will give you a piece of carrot. Ain't no praise. It ain't easy. It was burden. It was raised. It's trained to carry burdens. It's trained not to be noticed. It's trained not to make a whole lot of noise. That's us. We got to be trained. We got to be trained not to make a whole lot of noise. We got to be trained to stop using inexperience as an excuse to do nothing. That's the best excuse that anybody ever uses. You tell them to do that, they say, I don't know how to do that. I was never shown to do that. But sometimes you just got to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Hallelujah. And he'll see you through. You ain't got no money, go into the rent office. Maybe by the time you get there, somebody put the money in your checking account. Go ahead and put in for that job that God told you to put in for. Don't worry about them telling you ain't got no experience. You can say, I ain't got none, but I'm ready to be trained. I'm ready to be shown what to do. What's going on right now? I have too much experience. They can't get the job because they know too much. They know too much. You want to go in there telling the boss what to do. But you need to be tied up. Tied up so they can train you how they want it done. Because all the schooling that you go through, when you walk in there, they say, you learned that in school, but this is how we do it here. And you have to adopt your ways to how they do it here. You can go to seminary and they can teach you all the wonderful things in the Bible. But when you come to a church, the church is like, this is how we do it here. You got to work with the people you got. You can play the team members that's on your team. The donkey didn't buck. He didn't kick. He just went right along. Mama there, but he went right along. He didn't worry about it. I'm going to leave my mama. He went right along. You see, when God got a prophecy for you, sometimes you got to leave mama. You got to leave daddy. You got to go where you're supposed to go. Hallelujah. Few people noticed the donkey on that day. And I'm sure that the donkey didn't mind. And I'm telling you, because the donkey was only doing his work. And his work that day was to carry the Savior. And when people yelled, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. If that donkey could speak, if he could speak, he would have probably joined in. I'm sure this donkey was just proud to have been able to lend his labor to bring praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us are just happy to lend our labor so God can get the praise that he deserves? How many of us are just happy to be a part of? I just want to be in the room when I die. I just want to have a corner. The Bible says many mansions he has for me. Oh, you could put me in the corner. I sleep on a cot. I just want to be a part of the experience so my living will not be in vain. I just want to know I can get in. You don't have to have a fine bed for me. I don't need a king or queen size. I don't even need a full size. Just give me a spot. Just give me a spot. I'll stand in the corner. I'll sleep just like this. You know some of us can sleep standing up. I just want a beat. As this donkey went on his way, there was no angel telling him to get out of the way to stop. There was no spirit stopping him. There wouldn't be no death for this donkey. There would only be death for the one that was riding him. You see, we so scared we're going to die doing what God wants us to do. We're going to get hurt. That donkey did his job. Didn't worry about getting hurt. Because the one riding him was going to get hurt. So they thought. The one riding him was going to be put to death, not the donkey. You understand? No matter what you go through, the death has already occurred for you. He already died on the cross and conquered it for you. If you're in Christ, you don't got to worry about that no more. Do you hear what I'm saying? I said, if you're in Christ, you don't have to worry about that no more. Somebody's conquered death for you. This one that was riding on him just wanted to be part of God's plan. Jesus just wanted to be part of God's plan and part of his will. Amen? That's all he wanted to do. He didn't get deceived by the world. He didn't look around and saw all the fine women, all the partying. He didn't see that. He never got distracted. He came to do the will of his Father. Don't you know that's what we're here for? To do the will of our Father. And what is his will? His will is that none should be lost. His will is for us to go to all nations and make disciples of everybody. That's his will. We should never lose perspective of why we are here. The Bible says he created us to worship. He created us to have fellowship with him. He didn't create us to be a headache. Think of your children. You have great expectations for them. You don't create them to be headaches. It comes. But when you're creating them, you're not expecting that. You're not saying, Lord, I'm going to have all of this trouble with this baby here. You're thinking only good things. And I'm sure that when God created us, he was thinking only good things. We aggravate him. We go through trials and tribulations, and he's always there with us. Pains that we think that we're the only one that feel it. He knows it. He knows it before you even were born. He's probably the only one that can say, Lord, I'm going to have trouble with that one there. You ever see people say, well, you're going to have trouble with that one there. He said, I'm going to have trouble with that one there. But he still let you come anyway because he could have stopped you before you came. This donkey just wanted to be part of fulfillment, part of scripture. He just wanted to do the work of the Savior. What else could a donkey ask for? What kind of servants are we going to be? What kind of servants are we in the service of our Lord? I want you to know right now, it only takes one donkey. One donkey. One donkey to turn this city around. The city of New Haven. It only takes one donkey to turn your family around. One donkey. It only takes one donkey to turn this church around. Just one donkey. I don't know about you, but I want to be a donkey for Christ. That's what I want to be. Never thought I would say something like that. That's what I want to be. I don't need to be that pretty horse. Just want to be a donkey. Just want to do my job. I don't need nobody admiring me, combing my hair, putting me in shows. I don't need to be a show horse. Just need to be a donkey. Let us stand this morning.